A master in the art of living draws no sharp distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his education and his recreation. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence through whatever he is doing, and leaves others to determine whether he is working or playing. To himself, he always appears to be doing both. Yvon Chouinard, Patagonia's founder. Hello, Lifebook VIPs. Sandra Garrist here. I want to welcome you to November in Lifebook's VIP program. I'm honored to be here with you today as we dive into an exploration of the 11th category of Lifebook. The next stop on our 12-month, 12-category rhythm is quality of life. This chapter is about your lifestyle, your happiness and fulfillment, fun and adventure, and living every day and enjoying yourself. I always look forward to diving into the monthly content with this community, and I'm especially excited about this chapter because I recently returned from a dream vacation that gave my quality of life LQ score a boost. When you rewatch John's category video on this fun, exciting chapter, he guides us as we take a look at the things we'd like to have, the environments we'd like to surround ourselves in, and the experiences we desire. A high quality of life can be the reward for all of our hard effort we've put into the other areas of Lifebook. And it is a way of making our hard effort more rewarding, more meaningful, and ultimately more productive. Quality of life is a very personal thing. Everyone has to decide for themselves what quality of life means to them. Before you can make a plan to achieve your ideal quality of life, you need to be clear on what your true, deepest desires are. I've had Lifebook alumni share with me on many occasions that their first time writing this chapter, they focused more on their shopping lists, and that the second time through, they realized what proved to be more fulfilling were experiences and travel. Consumer psychology has suggested that experiences in general provide more happiness than material goods. In terms of the happiness per dollar spent research, vacations generally come out on top. Dr. Amit Kumar is a social psychologist and researcher at the University of Chicago's School of Business who studies the relationship between money and happiness. He said, quote, "When one buys an experience, they seem to be buying themselves a story as well." So one way vacations continue to provide hedonic benefits even after they've long since passed is because they live on in the stories we tell, end quote. Do you know exactly what quality of life means to you? Has it changed since you first went through Lifebook? Here are some of my thoughts on quality of life. I believe your lifestyle is a reflection of who you are. A high quality of life is a skill to be mastered, not just a condition to be pursued. It is finding new ways to bring joy, pleasure, excitement, and substance into my life and into the lives of those I care for in small and big ways. The category of connectivity for quality of life is financial. Probably not a big surprise to you. But while more abundance can absolutely afford us incredible things, experiences, and homes, it does not necessarily mean a more enjoyable lifestyle. Here's the point. We can all afford to live better. Having more money is one way, but not the only way to change how we live and improve our quality of life. We can work on improvements in any of the other categories, and that will raise the tide on our quality of life. For example, we all know that your quality of life is hugely dependent on your level of health and fitness. Also, I love the quote from Zig Ziglar, who said, "In life, it's not where you go that matters, it's who goes with you." You can be on a first-class trip to romantic Italy, but whom you're there with will definitely affect the quality of your experience. I believe quality of life is not something we get simply as a result of having more. Quality of life is a result of living more fully, living more consciously, living more joyfully, more appreciatively. But here's one of my challenges with this category. It's a little easier for me to admit this now because I've heard the same thing from many Lifebook members, but I have struggled with really shutting down on vacations for most of my life and leaving work behind. I've spent more days than I care to recall at beautiful resorts poolside with my nose in my laptop. And it seems I'm not alone, especially in the United States. An Oxford economic assessment of paid time off in the U.S. showed that 42% of employees with paid time off finished the year with unused days, leaving an average of 8.1 days unused. Small business owners are especially bad at taking time away. When your company is in a season of growth, you feel like there's no time to rest because you want to ensure success is sustained. When your business's growth is stagnant, it feels like there's no time to rest because you have to figure out what's going wrong and remedy it. Even though logically, we all probably know that resting well and downtime is vital for business leaders to achieve long-term success and prevent burnout. Part of my challenge was my Midwest work ethic upbringing, and part was not fully understanding or appreciating my why here, the upside to downtime. Both of which led to some feelings of guilt or laziness while on vacation. In one of our September Lifebook design sessions, this topic came up, and Dr. Patrick Gentembo shared with the group an awesome quote from Nathaniel Brandon. Quote, "Leisure is a valid human activity," end quote. Love that. That quote instantly became part of my premise for this chapter. And I attribute this new foundational belief as one of the key reasons that the vacation Bruce and I had to Maui last month was one of the best of my life. Here are the four parts of my recipe for how I maximized the happiness factor on this trip. Number one, prepare, but don't overschedule. This was not easy for me, especially since it was our first time to Hawaii. It's tempting to want to fit in as many activities as possible, but I recognized that overbooking and rushing from place to place would have been stressful, leading me to need a vacation from my vacation. Part number two, disconnect for real. I wasn't perfect on resisting the temptation to check email, but I was 10 times better than on most trips from my past. My goal was for Bruce to notice without me telling him that this was part of my game plan before going. So I celebrated a little win when he told me on the plane ride home how impressed he was that I never brought my computer to the pool. Step number three, before taking lots of pictures, I first consciously took everything in. The scenery, the ocean, our bike ride down Haleakala, the luau. It was a pure desire to stay in the present moment and soak in as much joy as possible that really helped me fight that impulse to grab the iPhone camera. It may seem like the best way to preserve memories of a trip, but research suggests that the act of taking photos can actually impair memory. And fourth, I brought that quote from Nathaniel Brandon with me. Instead of feeling like I was slacking by taking time off, I now see how downtime is not only a valid human activity, but strategically important to my professional life and success. So what does quality of life mean to you? What's your recipe? What are you willing to do to create the quality of life you want? And how would your life change if you were able to achieve that ideal quality of life?
Hey everybody, it is Damian Lupo and it is Quality of Life Month. This is the month where we talk about all the cool things in your life, and we're talking about today, this month, this week, today, how you're gonna make your quality of life, your life experience epic. Like category 15 out of 10, just totally mind-blowing, head exploding, off the charts lifestyle. And this is something we're talking about today. This is not something we're talking about 15 years from now. So we're gonna talk about the price tag, the price tags of your quality of life. And there are actually four of them. So I know some of you guys are thinking, wait a second, how do we have a price tag on our health? And I'm gonna get into that. The reason that we do this is because I'm a big numbers guy. I look at metrics, I look at measuring things, and I know that if I can put a number on things, I can actually make progress and measure the progress, and I can understand it better. It's not so subjective and out there. So the four price tags on our quality of life chapter on identifying how we're going to look at each thing, compare it to the other, and all that is broken into two parts. One is the money. And so there's actually three pieces. There are three parts of the dollars. And then the other price tag is the time price. And so let's talk about the money one for a second. And really on anything that we have, especially big things like a house, there are two ways to experience that house. There's the owning it, and then there's the renting it. So there's the experience of being in the house. And a lot of times we think, okay, a house means I gotta buy the house. And then we get stuck in this enormous number that really probably a lot of times we're never gonna end up getting to. Or if we were, it might be decades down the road. The other option is the renting. It's the experience. And that might be for a day, it might be for a year. There's a big difference between the two. There's also the ongoing cost, the ongoing price tag, the money for you keeping that experience going. So for example, in a house, there's the upkeep, there's the maintenance, there's the people helping you. You get this giant 10, 15, 20,000 square foot house, if that's in your quality of life, and you've got to keep all the stuff up. Stuff breaks, needs to be cleaned, plants need to be watered, all that kind of stuff. So there's that monthly outflow. And then the other one is the time. So everything in your quality of life is going to require time, whether we're talking about your house, and that could mean you fixing things or dealing with people that are fixing it. And it could mean we're talking about vacations. So that requires time. You cannot outsource a vacation. You've got to actually do it. If we're talking about your health, there's a price tag with the actual time. You cannot offshore your workouts. I know I've thought about that, and I think Joe Polish even talked about that one time. So you've got to do these things. There is a time cost with everything. So let's get into the actual pieces, like all the different the components of our quality of life. So first off, let's look at the big one. This is typically the biggest one for most people, and that is the house. So an example, I'm going to give you my example. I'm going to share with you my house that's been in on my quality of life page for the last 3 or 4 years. It's a $25 million house in Carmel. Now, it doesn't matter whether you have a $25 million house or a $250,000 condo. It doesn't make any difference. It's just it's a different number. Couple of different options with this particular house. I can write a check for $25 million. House is mine. And then I don't have any mortgage, but I am gonna have upkeep. I'm going to have about $10,000-ish, $10,000 to $15,000 a month in ongoing cost. So in my life book, I've got $25 million or $10,000. For me, it's all about the experience. The house is on the ocean. There's whales in the backyard. I want the experience. Do I necessarily care that I am on the deed, or do I want to be there looking at whales? For me, it's important that I'm looking at whales. So if you look at those experiences like a house and you ask yourself, is it really important for me to own it? Cool, so use the $25 million. If you're more thinking, I want the flexibility and I really just want to be there with the whales and hang out and all that, then maybe we're talking more like renting it. And with this house, it's $40,000 a month. So for me, I don't want to have a $25 million noose around my neck. That I'd rather do other things. And so I'm a big abundance guy. That means that it's not necessarily an either or. I like simplicity though, and I want to be able to experience that as long as it's cool and it serves me and my family. So I'm gonna go for the rental route, which means it's $40,000 a month. And is there a monthly upkeep? Probably not much. I'm basically gonna say that that's zero. Maybe I'm gonna have somebody come and clean it, but I'm not gonna have any maintenance. I don't have a mortgage or property taxes. It's 40 flat, that's it. That's my house. So for me, the experience of the house in that case is more important than the ownership. Other houses, other property, it might be more important. I want a ranch and I'm going to buy the ranch. I'm gonna write a check for that. In my quality of life right now, the experience that matters to me is having that house on the water. So ask yourself, do you want to own it? Do you need to own it? Does that feel right to you? Or if you rented it, what would that look like? Put those numbers in your life book in that section. Let's talk about cars. I had a great experience a few years ago where I had a Corvette Stingray in my quality of life. I wanted this car. It's about a $70,000 car. And then I thought, well, maybe I should try it before I buy it. So I went to Phoenix and I rented this car and I took it to Sedona, which if you've ever been there, it's awesome. And it's also super cool to drive a Corvette around the winding hills through the Red Rocks. That's what I did. I rented this car for about $400 for the weekend. And by the end of the weekend, I had this cool experience, super cool, fun car. And I was absolutely certain that I did not want to buy this car and I was complete. So that car actually got deleted from my life book and I was done. The other cars that are in there, same thing, same principle. I'm gonna go check in with those cars. I'm gonna find one, I'm gonna borrow it, I'm gonna do whatever. And I'm gonna see if I actually love it, because cars can be a big old pain in the ass. I can tell you from experience, when I had a Ferrari, I was nervous about this thing. It was like $3,000 a month for my payment and my upkeep. A little flicker light goes on. It's $10,000 to repair it. They can be a major pain in the butt. So be careful about the cars. And if you're a super car nut, awesome. That's probably a category that you're really gonna wanna engage and maybe you're gonna put a ton of resources in. In my book, I've got what it costs to have the experience for the Teslas that I want in my garage. I know how much those things cost a month, and that's clean. It's clear, I don't have maintenance. Although with a Tesla, I'm not sure you'd have a whole lot of maintenance anyway, because what's there to break? It's an electric motor with a big pile of metal and some really cool iPads that you stare at. Anyhow, let's go on to the next thing. There's a piece to our basic human needs called contribution. It's how we show up, it's what we give to the world. And in my case, my contribution that is very regular and super important, it's who I am, is teaching and developing my students at the dojo where I teach martial arts, I teach Aikido. And for me, that's really all about time. It's a 6 hour a week commitment, sometimes more. That's what I've committed to. That's the number in my life book. It says 6 hours. Money, maybe it's some gas. And occasionally I drive to a workshop or something. Really, it's all about the time. So this is a big time one. And by the way, on the cars, that could be a time one. It's kind of iffy. It just depends on whether you're going to spend a lot of time going and getting the car fixed or whatever. I'd say that's mostly a dollar one. So contribution, what are you doing? What's in your book? If you're thinking, I want to have this piece in my life where I'm going to give to a charity or I'm going to teach, and I know a lot of you guys want to teach and that's really important to you. So find a place to teach, volunteer, do something. There's nobody at all that doesn't have an hour or two that you couldn't give to something that mattered, and it brings so much joy and fulfillment to you. So think about the contribution. What time can you put on that thing right now and start living your quality of life? All right, next one's a lot of fun because we often think about vacations. And for me, vacations are all about the connections with the people in my life. I think about the vacations being an opportunity to share really cool experiences with people that I love and care about. Like last month, went to the Czech Republic, and that was awesome. It was actually a life book trip, and spent a week with some of my favorite people ever. Had incredible bonding experiences and these, something that we would never do elsewhere. So we went out there and we spent some money, we spent some time. In my book, I have a map of the world. I know what countries I've been to, I know where I wanna go, and I know which years I'm planning to go to them. I also have numbers on those different countries, an estimate. So I've got an African safari that's coming up, and I know how much that African safari is going to cost. I've got a budget for it. So if that's important to you, put a number on it, put a number of days. For me, it's 2 weeks and it's $25,000. Yeah, I don't wanna have a crappy one. I wanna have an epic one. I mean, this is like mind-bending, awesome trip. I'm not gonna be sitting in hostels. That's not my thing. I'm not 20 years old. Maybe that's for you, that is not for me. So I'm gonna go crazy, I'm gonna have a great time, the experience with my friends. Oh yeah, by the way, this is gonna include my friends. So some of my friends are also gonna be doing that, some they're gonna be writing that check, and possibly I'm gonna be helping some people because I really wanna share that with them. It's not just about giving that to them. There are some people that aren't maybe at the same place economically, and I wanna give that experience to them, and selfishly, I want them in that experience with me. So vacations, big time dollars, big time days. How many days are you gonna commit to being on these experiences, being in these experiences? I can tell you that when I sat there across from the table talking to my dad a couple months before he died, the most powerful, painful thing I've ever heard out of a human being was, there were just so many things that I wanted to do. And I will never ever forget that. So I'm not going to wait 20 or 30 years to do these things. He wanted to go to Iceland, I'm going to Iceland. He wanted to go to Italy, I've been to Italy a couple times and I love it and I'm gonna keep going. Same with Africa. I have all these places I want to go and so I'm booking them, I'm going for it. So book them, figure out the time and the money on your in your quality of life. Your brain and your subconscious and your and the superconscious will start finding ways to create that to so it happens. You gotta get really focused on the metrics though. Okay, next thing is your health. All right, right. How do you put a price tag on your health? Well, actually, that's a good question because how the heck do you put a price tag on the most important thing in your life? If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. I think it's on a lot of our life books, health is the first wealth. I forget who said it, but I could not agree more. It is the ultimate. So it's the first thing that we should take care of because if we don't have that, what do we have? Nothing. We're dead. We're in pain. We can't function. We can't make money. We can't enjoy anything. It doesn't really matter. So health, what is it that you are going to put a price tag on? For me, I'm thinking about how am I going to be in the best health of my life? It's going to be about a team. So with my team, I'm talking about my trainer, my chiropractor, my massage therapist, and my cook. Those people put together is $3,000 a month. For me to have the best health ever, I've got a lot of people that are coaching me. When I think about my trainer, that's a coach. My chiropractor is a coach. My massage therapist, kind of a coach, sort of just keeping me in a really, really great space of non-toxic residue because that stuff builds up. When you're intense and you're obsessed and you're crazy, like some of you are, I know I am, you build up stress and residue and you just need to get some help there. I need that help, it's part of my deal, it's $3,000 a month. Now the next two are part of the connection and I mentioned it in vacations. Let's just talk about the lover, your partner, the person that matters to you most. And there is no way you can put a price tag on this. Almost, there is a way that you can put a price tag on it. And here's the price tag. Let's start with the time. For most relationships, the best thing to do is be absolutely committed to them every single day. You don't look at a relationship, you don't focus on it for days or weeks at a time. Pretty likely that thing is going away. So if you have a world-class relationship with your lover, it's a daily engagement, it's a commitment. For me, it's a minimum of 2 hours a day, connecting, doing things, talking, making love, it's all that stuff. And then the dollars, let me just give you a hint. Don't be a cheap ass. Engage. There's nobody that you can do things for that matters more than your partner. They're going to be there in the good times and the bad times. And quite honestly, if you're sharing a bed, you don't want that person looking at you like you're a fool or you're a cheapskate or gosh, I wish you were playing a bigger game or living or showing up. You want that person to go, I am so lucky. And it's not just about the money. It's about your commitment. Are you all in? So the price tag there is, be all in, whatever that takes. If that's 24/7, maybe that's the right number. Figure that out, commit to it, and then share that. Okay, the last thing is your friends. And for me, a friendship, and I heard this somewhere, I don't remember exactly where, it may have been John Butcher or Rick Sapio, it was one of the powerhouses in our community, and it was about friendships. If you have a friendship that matters, you have at least a couple of nights together, dinners a year. For me, it's 4 days a year. And since I have friends all over the country and really all over the world, that means I'm going to be traveling. So now we have two things. We have the money. I'm going to commit a certain number of dollars to make sure that I am saying, okay, I budgeted $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, and I'm going to make sure I'm going out and spending time with my friends. My friends also come to visit me. I'm going to take responsibility for this friendship and I'm going to own it. So I'm going to show up. I'm going to say, hey, Jason, man, I haven't seen you. It's been 6 months. Let's get together. I'm going to come out and visit you for the weekend. So 4 days a year, minimum, it's 4 days of together in some space, not just a dinner. I'm way beyond that. My friendships matter way more than just a dinner. I'm going to go on vacation with them, or I'm going to show up in their state. I'm going to hang out, and I'm going to allocate the resources, the money, to make sure that I am committed, that I've got that there, and I'm okay with it. So in advance, it's in my quality of life. It shows my friendships, and it says, here are the resources, go do it. These people matter to you, they matter a ton, go make it happen. Book a ticket. Hey, if it's full fare, who cares? It's in your plan, so go for it. Okay, so that's basically how I have figured out the metrics of my quality of life. You can do the same thing with your life vision. This month, it's all about today, because there's nothing in our quality of life that should be so far out that it's impossible. And realistically, if you're talking about the experiences, you can start having all of these experiences if you'll get really, really clear on what the optics are. So that's what I've done. I hope that helps. I hope you guys will take that and run with it and be able to get clarity and start implementing things faster, sooner, bigger, greater, and you'll take this and run and create an epic life. So that's it for this month. I will see y'all again next month. Have an awesome time with this, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hello, Lifebook. Kepin here, the Elevate guy. How are you? I hope November is finding you awesome. It's Quality of Life Month, so let's dive in. As you already know, quality of life can be summarized into creating the life you want through things, experiences, people, and your environment. If you want a better quality of life, what can you improve in these four categories? Do you want better things around you? Do you want to create better experiences next year or now? Do you want to improve the quality of people around you? Are you ready to elevate your environment? What I love about quality of life is that you create it. You can create your quality of life. That's empowering. What makes quality of life so great, especially at this time of year, is your ability to hit reset for next year. You can literally create the quality of your life by taking intentional steps to improve it. That sounds so basic, but most success tips are. No one else is going to do this for you. If not you, who? If not now, when, right? Creating a better quality of life is so inspiring. Anything is possible for you. Be bold, be brave, step into your awesome sauce and create the quality of life you've always dreamed of. Excited? I am. When I look at the quality of life section of my life book, the question that pops up over and over again for me is this: am I happy? Ask yourself that. Are you happy? When we combine all of the categories of life book, the sum total equals quality of life. Let's take a look at the categories and get clear on the areas that are contributing to your quality of life, both positive and the areas that need improvement. These questions may line up with you and they might not, so let's give it a shot. Health and fitness. Are you as lean, vibrant, and full of energy as you want to be? Intellectual. Are you thinking thoughts that bring you joy on a regular basis? Emotional. When challenge comes into your life, do you ask yourself why it is happening for you instead of to you? Character. Is what you are saying, thinking, and doing in alignment? Spiritual. Is your spiritual belief giving you a sense of unconditional love, strength, and connection? Love life. Are you and your significant other as close as you want to be? Parenting. Are your children, if you have them, seeing someone live the Lifebook lifestyle through your example? Social. Do your friends inspire you? Do they feel better about themselves after they hang out with you? Financial. Do you have a gap between your income and expenses, and is it growing? Career. Does the work you do provide value for others? Do you enjoy what you do? Life vision. Are you crystal clear on what you want, and does what you want excite you? How did you do with these questions? You know, it's all about quality of life, right? These questions can be a fun one-on-one with your notepad. If you're not waking up excited about life, excited about Lifebook, excited about the quality of your life, take a look at the answers to these questions you aren't happy with. Pick the top two, remind yourself that you are awesome sauce, and get to work. You know what to do. If you don't know what to do, look, visit the Lifebook site and do some reading, listening, reach out, make it happen. You got this. All right, so summary. Is the quality of your life giving you joy? Are you happy? If yes, keep on keeping on. And if you need to make some tweaks, this is the month to do it. Until next month, keep smiling, and remember, we are all works in progress.
Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. It represents the wise choice of many alternatives. William A. Foster. Hi, VIPs. It's Becky Litwicky, back to share some great tips from our Lifebook team. As many of you know, having a high quality of life requires a high level of intention. Quality doesn't just happen. Within the realm of life, however, there are so many ways to improve or adjust the quality. You could adjust your mindset to have a better outlook on life, which is what Ashley shared. She said, "Thinking about what I want to say before I say it has made a huge impact on my quality of life. Every thought has a positive or negative charge to it, and once you say it, it's amplified." Putting more positivity out there has been Ashley's goal, and it's made a huge positive shift in her interactions and thoughts. Another option for improving the quality of your life is to manage the stuff you have with a high level of intention. Sandra reminds us how common it is for things you own to expand to fill the space you live in, but the opposite, that they contract to fit nicely, rarely happens. She became super aware of this with her recent move. As her and Bruce worked to combine their households and clear the clutter, she made note of some of the best practices she used. She said, "We went through our possessions and we were ruthless about what we didn't want to take with us into our new home. Anything we didn't want, we divided into three categories: trash, donate, or sell." They made donations to friends and worthy charities, where they were sure to get a receipt so they can get valuable tax deductions. Sandra also said, "One of the reasons it's hard to declutter is because we look at an item that we don't need and we remember how much time or energy or cash it cost us to obtain. Selling some of that stuff might not bring back the time or energy, but it can bring back money. Money which can be used and put towards some of the things you really do want. In addition to hosting a garage sale, there are so many great ways to sell your stuff online. Here are a few examples. Amazon Marketplace. This site even helps you set the pricing for your items, and it will attach your items directly to Amazon listings for the product, so anyone shopping will see your used item along with the new ones. Other options are Craigslist, eBay, Let Go, Garage Sale, Offer Up Now, and yardsaletreasuremap.com/blogit. We'll list all of these resources in the post for this month. If you feel that managing your stuff doesn't require much of your intention, you might want to use travel as a way to improve your quality of life. Stephanie said the number one thing she did to improve her quality of life this past year was to take an international trip with amazing people who challenge her, inspire her, and delight her. This trip happened to be a Lifebook trip, and it was a total game changer. When you travel with other people who are striving to live a 12-category smart life and are always focused on raising the bar, the conversations alone are worth every penny, and the experience is priceless. Even after they returned home, they were committed to supporting each other and improving their quality of life every day. She said, "We're taking one step daily towards improving our quality of life. Cleaning out a drawer or a closet, organizing an area of the home or computer, lighting a fire, putting candles on the dinner table. There are things that you can do to improve your quality of life that only take moments. When we focus on it every day, it can be achieved so much faster." Lastly, for our VIP parents, you might be interested in John and Missy's latest, greatest quality of life strategy. Missy said, "By far the best quality of life upgrade that John and I made this year was taking our kids out of school completely. Homeschooling them, yes, but in a very radically new way. So new and radical that they've decided to call their own school Freedom University. FU for short." Missy shared just a few of the immense benefits. She said, "We have so much more quality time with each of our kids because they aren't in jail for 8 hours. They're also developing their own interests and falling back in love with learning because they're no longer in the drudgery of memorization learning. We can travel anytime we want, which gives Jade and Justin the opportunity to learn on location and in full immersion. They are learning how to manage their own time, projects, interests, and more, which gives them the freedom to learn, fail, and succeed while they're still in the nest with us by their sides. Oh, and there's no homework, which makes our family evenings joyous instead of torturous. In short, this is by far the best thing we've done for our family since we started traveling the world. If you're interested in doing this for yourself, but have fear about it, please reach out to our amazing Lifebook community. There are so many of us that are homeschooling, and it is so much easier than you might think." Since quality of life integrates so deeply with the 11 other categories, it's easy to find areas to focus on that will dramatically improve your quality of life. My personal recommendation is to narrow down a few things or one large thing that will propel you into the quality of life you want. When you've got that intention nailed, move on to a new one. A year from now, your life will be so rich and satisfying, you'll be happy you committed to your intentions.
Hey there, VIPs. It's Jessie Colhagen, and we're about to take a tour through this month's awesome quality of life resources. I'd like to start with a beautiful quote by the brilliant mystic, philosopher, and lover of humanity, Rumi. He said, "Your hand opens and closes. If it were always a fist or always stretched open, you would be paralyzed. Your deepest presence is in every small contracting and expanding, the two as beautifully balanced and coordinated as birds' wings." This quote really hits home in my heart, especially when it comes to the quality of life category. Because as much as we hate to admit it, life is dual in nature. It's a series of ups and downs, ebbs and flows, highs and lows. Without one, we simply couldn't have the other. These combined experiences are what make our lives whole. And learning to embrace and celebrate the full rainbow spectrum of our experiences is one of the most powerful things we can do to find peace, happiness, and balance in our lives. This month is all about striking that balance between the expansion and the contraction, and learning to love every moment in between. So are you ready to dig in with me? All right, here we go. First, I'd like to highlight the challenge for the month, titled the Unprocrastination Challenge. Because the truth is, we're all human, which means we're all victims of procrastination. It chases us around daily, in big and small forms, causing us to resist the tasks we really need to get done. And as we know, when it comes to living our very best lives, it's all about honoring, celebrating, and devoting ourselves to the things that matter most. So this is the month we take a stand. Now is the time we decide to stand up for the most important tasks in our lives above all others. So prepare yourself for the unprocrastination challenge. Yes, you are ready, and no, you can't do it later. Head on over to the challenge post for the daily instructions and to find out how this challenge can actually move the needle in your quality of life. Next up, we have this month's category contributor, entrepreneur, and 12 category smart lifebook member, Andy Drish. In this month's audio, he shares with us his own strategies for building a truly extraordinary quality of life, such as his own personal work cycle strategy, the life-changing resources that influenced his own lifestyle, some of the most powerful rituals he's put into place in the other 11 categories, and so much more. Andy is a true inspiration and dear heart, and we are so grateful to be featuring him as this month's bringer of wisdom. Next, we have a truly fantastic article titled 11 Questions That Can Vastly Improve Your Quality of Life. Because, as Tony Robbins once said, quality questions create a quality life. Successful people ask better questions, and as a result, they get better answers. The truth is, we all ask ourselves questions every day, usually the same ones over and over again. You can ask questions that make you feel more like a victim. You can ask questions that reinforce negativity and pessimism in your life. Or you can ask empowering questions, questions that open up dormant and unexplored wells of positivity and opportunity in your world. In this article, we pose 11 questions that have the power to change your life if you truly begin seeking their answers. Moving on, we have a piece by yours truly called How to Have a Good Bad Day. Because whether we like it or not, we all have terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days sometimes. Whether it's an overwhelming workload, a missed deadline, a traffic jam, some bad news, a fight with your partner, a broken goal, crappy days come in many shapes and sizes. But as with most things in life, you can bet your bottom dollar that even your stormiest days have their silver linings. This article features 8 fabulous ideas for how you can turn your day's frown upside down. And while I'm at it, be sure to check out my other featured article titled Why Discipline Equals Freedom. As most of you know by now, I wear a lot of hats in my life. And if you're a fellow human of the 21st century, it's safe to assume you do too. So it's been a super important part of my journey to become the best woman I can be in every important area. And if I had to pinpoint one of the single most important characteristics I've employed to achieve this, it would undoubtedly be self-discipline. Self-discipline is the key to freedom and fulfillment everywhere in my life. And it's funny because it seems counterintuitive. Self-discipline implies restraint, control, limitation, where freedom embodies flexibility, allowance, and even sometimes indulgence. But in my own experience, I've found that these two traits are inseparable. You can't truly experience the power and privilege of freedom without first activating self-discipline. Head on over to the full article when you have a moment to spare to discover why self-discipline is such a worthwhile quality to invest yourself in, and discover 6 examples of how I activate it in my own life. I hope you enjoy. Moving on to a post that I just absolutely love, titled Leave No Trace, A Declutter Habit for Mind and Matter. In a nutshell, this article highlights the wisdom of Zen master Suzuki Roshi, who spoke about the idea of leaving no trace, which basically means doing something with complete presence and full absorption, and then moving on to the next thing without holding on to previous activities. In our intellectual lives, this practice means you have to be mindful of what you're doing and conscious that you're moving from one task to another, learning to notice and appreciate the space that exists between things. Most of us rush from one thing to the next without thinking about the transition or even what we're doing in the moment, which leaves residual messiness in our minds. When applied to our physical world, this principle invites us to fully complete a task. If you make yourself a snack in the kitchen, let's say, wash and put away the tools you used to create it. Wipe the counter. Leave no trace. For more inspiration and 5 inspiring ways to form this habit in your own life, head on over to the post on the VIP page. As always, there are many more amazing articles and resources on the page this month. But the last one I want to highlight are this month's Life Notes, 2 truly incredible books that are sure to activate your inner glow and excitement for life. The first is titled Living Life as a Thank You, The Transformative Power of Daily Gratitude. And the second is The Charge, Activating the 10 Human Drives That Make You Feel Alive. And don't forget, they're both available to either listen to in audio format or read along with as a PDF. Be sure to download whichever format suits you best, and I hope you enjoy the books and get so much out of them. And just a reminder, you have unlimited access to Lifebook's powerful quality of life video for the entire month of November. Spending just 1 hour re-experiencing that life-changing video and bringing new thought power to your quality of life beliefs, vision, purpose, and strategies could be exactly the thing you need to move your life forward this month. Well, that's my overview for the month, VIPs. I truly hope it helps. I'm wishing you all the balance, fulfillment, and joy your quality of life can bring. And remember, above all, stay true to your vision and believe in yourself. You can do this. And with each action you take, you move one step closer to the person you want to be and the extraordinary life you want to live. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Lifebook's monthly audio.
Hello again, VIPs. Since it's November, and in the U.S., we celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday, I want to extend our deepest gratitude from the Lifebook team to all of you, our extraordinary Lifebook alumni. We are so thankful for our Lifebook community. I also want to encourage you to bring focus to the possibilities that November holds for you to improve your quality of life and the lives of those around you. Don't overlook how much happiness and joy comes from creating great experiences for others and from giving thoughtful gifts. Here's to saying yes to your own extraordinary life, truly believing that you deserve it, and to knowing that by living the highest quality of life possible, you can inspire others to do the same. Parker Palmer said, "Self-care is never a selfish act. It is simply good stewardship of the only gift I have, the gift I was put on earth to offer to others." Your highest possible quality of life begins with the decision to become the expression of your Lifebook and to take this amazing gift you've been given called your life and live it to the fullest. Until next time, here's to a wildly enjoyable month, and here's to living your very best life.